Here we go, baby.
Blog Talk Radio.
To Choked Out Radio Live. I am your host, Jim Russell, from the studios in London, New Jersey, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Jim Russell, with another exciting edition of Choked Out Radio Live, MMA edition. I know I've been ignoring wrestling. It's not that I haven't been ignoring it. I've been ignoring it from a podcast standpoint. I promise I will do a wrestling podcast. I'll probably even tape it tomorrow. With that being said, UFC Calgary, with the excellence of execution, you could tell DC last night during the UFC broadcast went fanboy. The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be was live in attendance at UFC Calgary. We had a great night of fights. Big wins for Joanna Jacek, Alexander Hernandez, who opened up the main card. Amazing display of strength and pushing the pace. You had Jose Aldo and, of course, Dustin Poirier. So a lot to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. So with that being said, I first wanted to get into the main card. You had Alexander Hernandez, who beat Olivier Boone Mercier. That was a great fight. Great fight by Alexander Hernandez. And you could tell this guy, signed this guy off the street, lightweight division. He's ready. He's only 25 years old. And I believe he is one of the bright stars of the UFC or the future of the UFC. And I agree with him. Feed him six to ten opponents in that division. And it's crazy how, I don't want to say the lightweight division is weak, but when you have a guy off the street beating two renowned lightweight fighters, it's a knock on A, your division, or B, maybe this guy is the real deal, Alexander Hernandez. I want to see more of Alexander the Great fighting guys in the top 10, or 6 through 10. Then, in addition to that, huge win for Joanna Jacek against Tisha Torres. I saw that fight. I watched the main card, obviously, with Tisha Torres. You know, she caught her. She caught her a couple of times. I liked her strategy. She was trying to fight her from the clinch and was relentless on trying to score that takedown. But the thing is, yes, she was trying to score that double leg takedown. But I agree with DC. Last night, Tisha Torres kept trying to go for that double leg. What we should have done, she should have won, changed levels, and number two, go for the single, make her hop on the foot, and then, you know, you could go for a judo throw or a trip at that point. Make her work. Make Joanna Jacek work. Joanna Jacek, her strength is obviously her comfort zone is striking from a distance from her striking background. But at the same time, Joanna Jacek did a better job than Tisha Torres in working in the clinch, and B, with dirty boxing. So Joanna Jacek did a better job there. And you know what? Tisha Torres caught her a couple of times, but it just was not enough. And Joanna Jacek, huge win for her. This is a monumental win for her in the sense that she lost the championship, right? She ran into Nos Namahunas. And then, in addition to that, in the rematch, it could have went either way. It went with the champion's decision at that point. My dog is going crazy. I don't know why he's going crazy. I guess hungry for some reason. Let me see. What can I give my dog? In the meantime, yeah, huge win for her. Do I see her against Namahunas? No, I mean, they already fought twice. I can see the trilogy fight occurring. I'm not sure. She's wiped out the division with the exception of Namahunas. Can you see a trilogy fight? I guess you can. I guess you could to an extent, but doing a J-check, as you could tell last night, from last night's reaction, very popular all over the world. She basically made that division, you know, and basically I agree with DC last night. Joanna Jędrzejczyk made the adjustments after the Jessica Andrade fight. At that point forward, she realized, look, you know, I got to find different ways to win. So big win for Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Very happy for her. I'm a big fan of her. I just don't like the way she came off as cocky the last two fights. And I think she never really actually acknowledged Namajunas. Or maybe she did, being a better fighter. But I don't think she, you know, is given the level of respect that I think she should, you know, give Namajunas, you know, given the fact that she beat her in the Garden and then beat her again in the return bout. Now, so that's why I think Joanna Jędrzejczyk got the decision over Tisha Torres. Tisha Torres caught her with some nice shots. I believe she was a perfect opponent for Joanna Jędrzejczyk in the sense that, you know, styles make fights. So Joanna Jędrzejczyk is about striking and being able to use her you know, Muay Thai, her kick, you know, her background in general, you know, for dominant striking. But for Tisha Torres, you know, the idea was right. The idea was right, but just Joanna Jędrzejczyk did a better job making adjustments. And that's what the beauty of fighting is. You know, you have a game plan, right? But obviously sometimes things don't go according to plan. And it's a matter of the good or great fighters are able to customize and make adjustments on the fly. And my dog keeps eating the side of the molding for some reason. I don't know what is going on with my dog. So big win for Joanna Jędrzejczyk as I give a treat to my dog there. Then in the co-main event, wow. Round one, 4 minutes and 19 seconds, a knockout by Jose Aldo, which was a huge, huge win for Jose Aldo. For Jose Aldo, he caught Jeremy Stephens with a body shot. Jeremy Stephens was in the pocket with him most of that round. Jeremy Stephens, he was not afraid, and he could take a punch. He has a great chin. The issue, what happened was Jose Aldo, typical Jose Aldo, was able to get that body shot, and then from there was able to ground and pound and eventually get the TKO win. Now, the controversy in that bout is, was it an early stoppage? Look, what MMA, I've done intramural Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournaments only, and trust me, I'm a white belt for life as of now, and with so many projects in sight, I don't see myself going back to Jiu-Jitsu at least for another 6 months at the minimum. I have a lot going on, a lot of other projects besides Choked Out Radio, which is why it's very limited in what I could do, but it's not about me. It's about the refereeing. So with that being said, he got caught, and Jose Aldo ground and pounded him, right? In addition to that, then he turned on his stomach. And once he turned on his stomach, and once Jose Aldo started wailing on him, the referee stopped it after the second shot. Look, when you give up your back like that, and when Jose Aldo's coming at you like that, the referee's job is the safety of the fighters, right? He's not, you know, it's not blood sport. You're not fighting to the death. You know, at the same time, he wants to save you so you could continue your career. Now, was that an early stoppage? A lot of people, I was following the hashtag UFC Calgary last night, and a lot of people said that stoppage was early. You know, Jeremy Stephens was good from the side. He was fighting the hands, which is the most important thing when you're getting ground and pounded. It's about fighting the hands and being able to find a position to able to either overhook so that individual doesn't no longer have the full range of power for them to ground and pound you, right? For whatever reason, he gave up his back. He was on his stomach. So the referee said, you know what, you're in your stomach. He's wailing on you 2-3 times, and you know what? I'm going to make the decision and stop the fight. So, yes, I thought I'm agreeing with a lot of the people on the internet, on Twitter, that, yes, it was an early stoppage, but at the same time, for Jeremy Stephens, don't put yourself in that position. I know it's tough to say, and it's tough to analyze, but because you're not there, you know. But with that being said, you know, you can't. Yes, if you get a body shot, you survived it. Yes, and then yeah. But once you put yourself in your stomach like that, and once you give up your back, then it's tough. It's really tough, man. It's really tough. So with that being said, you know, I don't agree with the stoppage, but you know what? I can't hate on Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo, he was the king of the featherweight division from his days in WEC up until when he ran into Conor McGregor and that whole fiasco. And you know, I'm glad, you know, Jose Aldo has some fights left in him. But I think Jeremy Stephens was on a roll. I think he's just now has to make some adjustments minor adjustments in his game and be able to sustain a body shot, or even if you get a, you know, get caught with another body shot, how to handle it yourself in the back. And he'll make some adjustments. He's a pro. He's been in the game forever, and I could see him getting a title shot some point down the line, whether it's a fill-in for injury due to injury, or just on his own, you know, putting together another win streak. And Jose Aldo, we'll see what happens. You know, you have, you know, Max Holloway, who's going through stuff. So I don't know what we're going to see. So we'll see what happens there. And then in the main event, wow, what a main event between Dustin Poirier and Eddie Alvarez, who lived up to the hype, of the first one in the first bout. And almost went the same way, right? In the first one, Alvarez makes the adjustment and eventually, you know, illegal knee, no contest. In the second one, Poirier was the one that made the adjustments and eventually, as you know, got the TKO win in round two with four minutes and 5 seconds. So Dustin Poirier, he's a beast. He's a beast. And in typical Poirier style, he was able to put together in combination and be able to sustain Eddie Alvarez. And he caught him with some nice lovely shots and eventually got the win. But Dustin Poirier, you know, I pulled up his stats. He's a beast, man. He is a beast, Dustin Poirier. I actually pulled up his little bio real quick. So, and he's not even 30. He's almost 30. So he's 20. He has 24 wins, 12 by knockout, 7 by submission, 5 by decision. He has 5 losses, 2 by knockout, 1 submission, 2 by decision. So he is 24-5, and his MMA record, I mean his streak to an extent, he's on a three-fight win streak because of one no contest. So he beat Jim Miller. He beat Eddie Alvarez with no contest. He beat Anthony Pettis. Then Gagey, which he was on his roll. He was the next star, and he derailed that. And he beat Eddie Alvarez last night. So I believe you have in that lightweight division, technically you have Conor McGregor at number 2, according to UFC. You have to beat Eddie Alvarez, and then you have Kukui Ferguson. I'm sorry. You know, I'm mixing up the featherweight, and then Khabib. So I mean, it's tough, man. It's really tough. It's really tough to say what is the next fight. For Dustin Poirier. Like, I'm looking at the rankings right now. Yeah, I'm right. I am bugging. In the lightweight division, you have Khabib as the he is the full-blown champion, right, after his win a couple of months back. You have Tony Ferguson Kukui, who's the number one contender, right? And you have Conor still in the mix, and then Eddie Alvarez will take that spot. He'll be the number 3 contender. We all know, I believe it's all but confirmed, Conor McGregor versus Khabib is going to be Columbus Day weekend from Las Vegas in October. I believe that's confirmed. Now, with that being said, title shot, then the young, you know, there's 2 things they could do. They could do Ferguson against Poirier in a title eliminator, right? Or Dustin Poirier could just wait in for the winner of Khabib McGregor. But I don't know, but I believe Dana White's in a position where McGregor will just be money fights. Is that a money fight? I guess anything with McGregor technically is. He built himself up that way, so we'll see. So there's 2 options that the UFC could go. Poirier could face the winner of Khabib McGregor, and I guess that could be a title fight in itself. Just based on McGregor, he could sell 1 million pay-per-view buys. Or you could do Poirier El Kukui in a title eliminator, and at that point, the winner of that bout, no shadow of a doubt, will face the winner of Khabib and McGregor, whoever that lightweight champion will be. So I think that's, you know, that's the 2 directions that UFC could go in. So that's the point. And for Alvarez, Alvarez could fight Lee, or maybe even maybe Kukui, Edson Barbosa, you know, we'll see. You know, there's a lot of different areas, things that Eddie Alvarez could do, but I don't think he should retire from the sport per se. He's an excellent fighter. I love to watch him fight the pride of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So that was a card last night. It was amazing, amazing night of fights last night. You know, Bret Hart was in the stands. So, and now coming up, you have next week, you have TJ Dillashaw against Cody Garbrandt, too. Those guys, you know, you can't make it up. know, you can't make this stuff up. You could say it's stage like WWE. It's like the perfect storyline between TJ Dillashaw and Cody Garbrandt. It's something out of Monday Night Raw in a world of wrestling. Former teammates, turned foes, and then, you know, it got postponed here and there. They finally fought at Madison Square Garden. Cody Garbrandt, I was there live. He had TJ Dillashaw beat. He was saved by the bell. Then in round two, TJ Dillashaw gets a TKO win, and afterwards, Cody Garbrandt, he stands up all wobbly, and TJ Dillashaw screams in his face, "You can't make this stuff up." That is one fight that I'm dying to see. And then Cody Garbrandt already, according to what I saw last night, already has a plan. he has a plan of beating Dillashaw and then right away offer him a rematch of the trilogy and concluding his feud with TJ Dillashaw. So he already has his stuff mapped out. So I'm excited. I'm very excited for this fight. It could go either way. I love the scrambles in the bantamweight division. I guess that adds a little personal animosity. It adds fuel to the fire, sort of how Jonah Jacek and Rosan Mahunas were giving each other more of the words, especially in the first fight. The second fight, I don't remember too much, but the first fight, for sure, I definitely saw more of the words there. It adds to the intensity and investing in an MMA bout. Because when you just see two names, okay, but, you know, whenever there's some sort of animosity of some sort, it makes it more interesting to watch, per se. And then you also have Henry Cejudo, the Olympic medalist against Mighty Mouse, who's probably one of the best pound for pound fighters in the flyweight division. But what I didn't like is, I believe he's had opportunities. If I'm not mistaken, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. For a super fight, against Dillashaw declined it. I don't like watching his fight with Demetrius Johnson because it's almost the same. You know, it's almost about strike. He'll dominate position, and then that's it. And he'll fight, five rounds, and he has amazing cardio, and that's it. So, what happened here? Something went wrong when I was displaying my page. So, that's something else. Okay, so that's something else. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so we have that. So we have that. Those are the main event and co-main events of the fights next week. As far as UFC 227 Dillashaw versus Garbrandt 2. Other fights on the main card: Thiago Santos, Kevin Holland. That's a great fight in the middleweight division. And then you have Pollyanna Viana versus Jay Aldrich. That's also a great fight in the strawweight division. And then you have Club Swanson, Ronaldo Moicano, and of course you have the main event and co-main event from that I just mentioned about, which I just mentioned. So you have that coming up at UFC 227, and then after that you have I was just talking about this guy, Vic against Justin Gage, and then of course after that you have Mark Hunt, Olenek, and then for whatever reason it's not on here, UFC 228 Labor Day, or I guess right after Labor Day, I guess NFL opening weekend, I believe that's what it is, where you have Valentina Shevchenko fighting for the women's flyweight championship against Montano. I believe that's that weekend. So you have that coming up. So that's what's coming up in the UFC. So, DC did a great job last night. I love his commentary. I love his insider's perspective on the game. The UFC has been cliche with bringing in these like current fighters or ex fighters into commentating the UFC. But DC has done a great job. Even Michael Bisping, I would say, he's a little clown sometimes as far as being able to, what he does in Fox Sports with some of the segments they do outside. But actually, he has some great insight. I actually watched the highlights a little bit before, again, just to kind of make sure that I have a fresh perspective before getting on Choke.radio. So Michael Bisping does a great job, and Dominic Cruz does as well, as far as being able to go in and give their real-life perspective and share their experience, and that's why they're in the position they're in on Fox. And hopefully once they transition to ESPN, they can do the same there. We'll see. I don't even know what's going to happen there. So that's what's coming up in the world of MMA. Brock Lesnar has he's been tested for the first time in the USADA. That I expect that fight in January of 2019. We still don't know what's going to happen with Bone Jones. You know, as I mentioned before, DC's last two fights should be was supposed to be Shogun Hua, but Shogun Hua lost to Anthony Smith last week. So therefore, you know, that goes that, right? Because that would have been two great money fights. Anthony Shogun Rua, who was a legend in Pride, a legend and a Hall of Famer for his fight against Dan Henderson. But for whatever reason, well, he lost. He lost to Anthony Smith. And Anthony Smith now is in line, not for a title shot, but is in line to be in a position where if he puts together some type of streak, he could have some type of title shot down the line. Now, for DC, he's just chill. I believe he's going to commentate next week as well. So now, with that being said, I don't know. There's, you know, DC has, you know, his only two losses or loss has been to Johnny Bone Jones, right? So let's look at the lightweight division. Let's look at the, which is, hold on a second. Coño, I'm trying to find it. So weight class is DC. Coño, rankings. Light heavy. Okay. So DC's a champion. You have Alexander Gustafsson. I kind of don't want to see that match again. Volkan, he took care of. Ilir Latifi, maybe. Jen, Blankovic, maybe. Jimmy Manua, Corey Anderson, OSP, Glover Teixeira, Anthony Smith. So Anthony Smith, you know, should definitely continue to go up the ranks. You have Glover Teixeira, who it's crazy how 4 years ago he was a beast and we thought he could beat Johnny Bone Jones. We were so wrong. You have OSP. You know, Corey Anderson, who took care of business, too, a couple of weeks back. Jimmy Manua. So, I don't know. There's no fight in the lightweight division that I would say all DC should fight, you know, because he's beaten everyone that he's faced. But I definitely see DC defending that championship one more time. I mean, if you base it on name, it would have to be Alexander Gustafsson, even though I don't want to see that fight. You know, so I don't want to see that fight. And then Alexander Gustafsson was supposed to fight. I wanted him to fight Anthony Smith. That would have been a great fight. And I think it could still happen down the line. Because let's face it, if Anthony Smith beats Gustafsson, I don't want to skip him, you know, all the way to the top, but you would have to consider him in case of an injury just to step in and score off against a lightweight champion. So if DC is true, to his plan of retirement, being that he's going to retire hard March of 2019, then the plan would be he would have to face, you know, one of these top 10 guys, right, one last time. And after that, what do you do? Dana White has interim everyone to hell. I think they should take a page out of Bellator's book. I would love to see some type of single elimination tournament with some of these guys. It don't have to be eight guys. It could be four guys, right? Or it could be, you know, these two. It could be, I don't know. I'm making it up. You know, Gustafsson, you know, Oldemir, and then Latifi, Blankovic, and then the winners, you know, fight at the, you know, in a month or two, and then they become the undisputed light heavyweight champ. You know, I don't want to say be too gimmicky, but at the same time, you know, shake things up. And that's where I think Bellator, that, you know, does a little bit better. They're going to do now a Grand Prix in a different division. They see the success in the heavyweight division, and they're going to now replicate that into another division. You have McDonald, I think, who's going to be in it now. So they could do that. They could definitely do that, and I don't see why not. Why not do that? So that's what I think was going to happen with the light heavyweight. So either we're going to wait on Gustafsson, or maybe the sledgehammer gets a title shot. I'm not sure. I'm not sure when they're going to go with the light heavyweight. But for now, thank goodness for the other, you know, other weight divisions. You have now the women's flyweight being defended in September. You have, of course, the bantamweight and the flyweight in the men's being defended in August. And then hopefully we have the mega fight in October between Conor McGregor and Khabib. So there's no rush in D.C. being able to defend either championship. Of course, the mega fight is going to be Lesnar and D.C. So, and then, you have Stipe Miocic. We can't forget about him. Technically, carried the heavyweight division for a long time. In theory, he deserves the title shot. But what was interesting about deep in Miocic in D.C., outside of the hardcore MMA fan base, you didn't really hear too much about it. I don't even think Stipe Miocic was booked any media appearances, whether it's on Jimmy Fallon or anything, or as far as being able to promote that fight. Now, you put McGregor and Mayweather, you, of course, they're going to PR the hell out of that. So, bad job on the UFC's part being able to promote that super fight. But now, technically, according to Stipe deserves all the next title shot in the world. But of course, we're going to go with money, and we're going to go with Brock Lesnar, right, versus DC in 2019. Looking at the heavyweight division, why Lesnar has a shot, as I mentioned before in previous episodes, you have Derek Lewis, who was unimpressive against Nagano. You have Curtis Blaydes, who you could argue he could get a title shot, right? You have Alexander Volkov, and you have Overeem, who's here and there. Oh, Dos Santos has just had a huge win in Idaho a couple of weeks ago. Mark Hunt, who's always around, Tabura, and then Ty Tuivasa, right? So there you go. There you go. A lot of these guys, maybe Blaydes, definitely Stipe, but besides those guys, they could fight for the championship, but now in MMA or in the UFC, it's a business, and it's about pay-per-view buys and butts to the seats. And, UFC is in a position, they're struggling as far as mega fights and mega stars. You have Rousey's with the WWE. You have Silva, who's just coming back. But yet, at the same time, he's at the back end of his career. You have Bone Jones, who's still issues with the USDA. The Diaz brothers, who are like, I don't know, smoking weed or just making it difficult to book the fight. I love them. I love them to death. Love them. Love the Diaz brothers, but I want to see them in fights. And, of course, Nick Diaz. Fighting that suspension, I don't know what's going to happen with that. Nate Diaz, of course, recently was the only guy to beat Conor McGregor. I know it was short notice at 170, and Conor McGregor, amazing fight in the rematch. So we'll see what happens with that. So, all right, it's been a pleasure, right? We spoke a little bit about the Calgary, Bret Hart in the stands, holler at Bret Hart. good job doing a J-check. Good job, Jose Aldo. Good job, Hernandez. And great job, Dustin Poirier. So that's what's going on. The world of MMA coming up. UFC 227, Dillashaw, Cody Garbrandt 2, and Henry Cejudo and Mighty Mouse 2. And then we have a couple of fight nights coming up to end the summer, the unofficial end of summer, which I'm sad. 1 month down, 1 month to go. All right, it's been a pleasure. Tell your friends about Choked Out Radio. Take care, Jim Russell. Peace. In the middle. Peace. Nah, that was an old thing from back in the day when I was going on. All right, peace out.